Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Family Natural Foods own Katrina Hittner.
Hello, hello.
Good to have you here, Kat. Thanks
for
running.
Happy to be here. It's a good Wednesday to be here.
We got some entertainment news we're going to get into. After that, we got some good ones coming up. Like, we're going to waste a time machine with the top historical events we'd visit if we could time travel.
I like it. I like it.
It's going to be fun. A little bit later, got some Then Ain't Right stories, some local good stories of the day, and I think we've touched on this once before. I have a follow-up on it, a girls' rock camp that I want to touch on. I wanted to bring that up again and everything, so that's coming up in just a little bit. Right now, let's dive into the entertainment, and so I don't know if you heard about this. I don't know how big this story is being covered nationally right now. There's a lot in the news going on.
Yep.
There always is. We live in a 24-hour news cycle now. You can't digest much information because there's other information just coming up right around the corner. But the there is a lawsuit going on right now between Michael Orr and his quote-unquote adopted family. The Blind Side, the movie that came out some years back, Sandra Bullock was in.
Yes.
Big movie, big hype about that movie. I think anybody that was paying attention to it from the sports world understood that Michael Orr's situation in college. And then when the movie came out, it became a national story and everything. But there was something that never felt too kosher to me about it. It always felt too Disney to me, too, too Hallmark, too, like a Hollywood writer had written this script. And
what was actually the correct story?
So over the weekend, Michael Orr came with a 14-page lawsuit against the family saying that they never adopted him, that they he turned 18 and they never even let him in the house, basically. And that they basically took, not basically, they tricked him into signing over his name, image, and likeness. And they have made anywhere from like $300 million off of him, including the film and all this. The family has come out and said that they think that this was a shakedown, that Michael was trying to shake them down for money. When that didn't work, he did this. Only they know what really happened.
Right.
And it is folly and childish to throw around saying, well, this and this and this. And I'm as guilty of this as anybody of doing this. So I'm not at all pointing the finger. I do this too from time to time. Like, well, how dare they this, or how dare he this, or what have you. And I believe in our court systems. I believe we have a great judicial system. I think it needs improving, but we have a better one than most. And so I do think that we're going to probably find out what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
I do think no matter what, nobody is leaving this story feeling good.
No.
Like we did originally. And one of the bigger, like, and I mean this in a joking sense, one of the cruxes of this is that one of the most likable actors of all time, Sandra Bullock, you know, got an Oscar from this movie.
Yeah.
And it's one of her signatures to her career.
Right. And now there's a lawsuit off of it.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially.
And it's brought a black eye to this and everything. And then, of course, you have social media where people have been clamoring, Sandra Bullock should give her Oscar back. She knows she didn't deserve it. Things like this. So I don't want to talk about the lawsuit. We'll talk about that when we get more information and that
we don't
and everything.
Know enough to talk.
And I jumped on it on direct on Playmakers the other day, and shouldn't have jumped on it as much as I did. I tried to even use some hesitancy with it, and even I shouldn't have gone as far as I did. But it needs to be talked about, and we don't shy away from things at this station. So we're going to talk about things. I will say, as far as this goes, as far as this particular part of the conversation. Get off my lawn. What are you talking about? Like, how ridiculous of a statement can you make that she didn't earn it? It's acting.
Yeah, she was doing a job.
And she was
doing
a role.
And she did that. She didn't know the story because this is, what, many, many years later. And after the fact. But in that moment, in that job, she did her job well.
Yeah, she did her. It's not a crux to her. Okay, let's say that this was all fake. That's acting. That's 90% of the movies you see nowadays are made up, are fake. I mean, I know this, and I'm the most serious person on the planet, and I know that it's fake, and it's playing pretend and all that. Nobody takes acting as seriously as I do, and I'll be the first to tell you that we're playing make-believe.
Right.
You know? Get over this. And I've never done, I can't think of many times I've done this in my life, but I actually agree with a film critic. Richard Roper injected some sanity into this debate, saying Sandra Bullock starred in the fictionalized adaptation of The Blind Side. It is totally misguided and unfair to assign blame to her for the new and deeply disturbing allegations about the real life story. It's BS. It's like the definition of it. Miss me with that. What are you talking about? Sandra Bullock should give up her Oscar because of a fake story?
Right. There's a lot of fake stories out there. So pretty much a lot of acting would just be a fake story then, right?
I just hope that Tom Hanks is giving up his Oscars. Because did you know that Forrest Gump wasn't real? It turns out Forrest Gump wasn't real.
What?
I know. Shocking. It's like, what are you talking about? This is the most ridiculous part of the argument that I can think of. I thought this was pretty cool. On the other end of things, this is pretty interesting. Everyone who knows Indiana Jones knows his disdain for snakes.
Yeah.
It does not like snakes. So it's kind of funny and a bit ironic that Harrison Ford just had a new species of snake named after him.
That's great.
Well played, well played. The slender species was discovered in the Andes Mountains in Peru. Mm. Its official name is, and I'm going to try it, everybody. I'm going to try to say this.
Okay.
And there's no synthetic way of saying it either. They're just giving me the actual word. Tachymenandotis, Harrison Fordi. Tachymenandotis, Harrison Fordi. It's a 16 inches long, and it's a yellowish brown and black with black blotches and a black belly and copper colored eyes. Researchers named it after Harrison to honor his role in environmental advocacy.
Cool.
Like as the vice chair of the nonprofit organization Conservation International, Harrison Ford, not your typical celebrity.
Mm-mm.
Harrison Ford has spent the majority of his career doing a lot of these things. Harrison Ford has worked with Homes for the Homeless.
Yeah.
He's worked with a lot of different organizations, but you wouldn't know it because Harrison Ford doesn't brag about these things.
He
just does it. I admire that a lot about him.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very cool part of his career. And it's this is one of the biggest things of his life he's been doing for a long time, his conservation work. But I don't think most people would ever even think about that with him.
Yeah, that's so cool. Also, I wonder what he thinks. This is my snake now. This is the name named after me.
I would love to know his take on it. I would like, because another thing about him that I've always loved, what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Like Harrison Ford doesn't play office politics.
No.
He doesn't, you know, he's not going to lie
to
you.
Very direct.
I love hearing him talk about when they ask him about roles he shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
And right away, the devil's own. Like, I shouldn't have done an Irish accent. I shouldn't have been doing that. It's just very, very real.
Yeah.
You know, I love that about him.
I think it's cool that there's a new species of snakes.
Yes.
I sometimes think like, oh, yep, we've seen it all. But it's like, nope, there's still more to discover out there.
Couldn't agree more.
Which is also really cool. On that.
It seems like every year, in fact, I'm positive, every year we hear a story like that they discovered a new species like 1,000 miles under the sea that we've never been before.
Right.
And I think of the same thing with fossils when we find fossils still in 2023 and we're still finding fossils.
I know. That's amazing.
It's pretty cool. The species thing is even more fascinating to me that there's stuff walking around on this planet or swimming around on this planet that we didn't even know about.
Right. But on the sad note of that, too, there's species that are getting extinct. Too, or they're on the lookout because there's only X amount of them. So something that we just have to be mindful of.
And all the more reason why conservation work is so vital and so important.
Absolutely.
And appreciate Harrison Ford doing this. Appreciate these scientists doing this too. That's pretty cool. This is the coolest story we have in our entertainment section today, though.
Okay.
On Monday, Pink played American Family Field in Milwaukee, where the Brewers play. And in doing so, she became the first woman to ever headline a stadium in the entire state of Wisconsin.
Ooh.
She also broke the stadium's attendance record.
Wow.
In an Instagram post, she said, quote, "I am a little fiery ball of gratitude catapulting around the world, trying to spread love and truth and the courage to feel everything we can feel." She added, quote, "I am full to the brim with real love for you all. It means the world to me. It is never lost on me. We aren't the cool kids. Thank God. We aren't the cool kids. Thank God. We're just gritty, magnificent humans doing our best. Thank you for letting me in."
That's
I love
cool.
that last part.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me in.
That's cool.
I don't know the exact stats on this or anything of how it is that she's the first woman to ever headline a stadium in the entire state of Wisconsin. That feels very Like, how did that happen?
Right. Like, and why didn't this happen years ago? Also?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know? A long time ago.
Yeah.
Like,
cool.
It's very cool. And there's a really cool shot of her that she took when she was practicing before anybody's at the stadium and everything. It's just her out there on the stage. It's a really nice shot. And I think this is cool, and I don't want to skate past that or anything. More power to Pink. That's really cool. I know a couple of people that are going to that, went to that show and are going to go to future shows, but what the what? Like, how is the state of Wisconsin not had a female headline lead before?
That,
like,
sounds that, wild.
It honestly feels like it can't be true.
Right.
Like one of those things, like, well, no, there has to have been somebody in this state that's headlined, but they're not promoting this because it's not true. I mean, especially in this day and age, if they're going to put something out there, they have vetted it. Mm-hmm. They have checked it 15, 20,000 times.
Yep.
So there's got to be some truth to this, whether it's the particular genre, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not being specific about the type of, like, pop star or country star. Yep. I don't know. But if that's the case, we got to get on that.
I was just going to say, we got to get working on that a little bit more here.
Get Carrie Underwood in this state. Mm-hmm. Get Lainey Wilson. I mean, let's get all these big female artists. Mm-hmm. Beyonce. Mm-hmm. Let's get her in here. Mm-hmm. Let's get them all. Where's Taylor Swift, for God's sake? She's got no problem touring. Get her here. Get all of these. That ain't good, people. That ain't good. It's 2023, and that's the first time that we're having a female lead, headlining. And stuff. It feels
old, or feels historical in a different realm.
Like, yes,
there's two different ways to look at that in a historical way.
And more power to her. That show was huge. I heard her show, and she's one of these artists that where you go to her show to see her music, but she gives you a performance.
Yeah.
She's doing her own music. She's singing and dancing and all that. But she also does a lot of, like, trapeze stuff and things. Mm-hmm. She's a very good stage performer.
Mm-hmm.
As we're wrapping up, Katrina, I've had this one for a little while, and I thought this would be kind of fun. We have some of... here it is. Sorry, everybody. I didn't sleep last night. Get sleep, everybody. So I wanted to mention this before. There's a camp for elementary and teen girls that teaches participants how to play instruments, perform a song, and build self-confidence.
Nice.
We talked on this story before, and I had a follow-up. I have a follow-up to it, so I just want to quick catch everybody up in case you didn't hear the first episode. Here's the follow-up. Previously on the morning show, we discussed Allison Hatfield, who dreamed of playing drums her whole life. She's 13 years old. She has purple streaks in her hair. She is a standout kid. Mm-hmm. And an individual. And she was looking for a place to belong. And she found it. Alice is participated in Girls Rock Camp Madison. It's a week-long day camp for girls, transgender, and non-binary youth from 8 to 18. And all kids, really. And they perform. So what they do, 45 campers participate in 9 rock bands. The sounds, they learn instruments. They go there. They create a song. And then they put it on for their family and for audiences. Cool. And stuff. So we did this story a little while ago. Well, we heard from some of the people from the camp, some of the parents from it, and they could not recommend this more. They wanted to make sure that people here in central Wisconsin heard about this.
Yeah.
And it's not exactly a long trip to go from here to Madison.
No, very close.
It's one of the best advantages we have being in the center of the state is you're pretty much 2 hours away from everything.
Absolutely.
Whether we're talking up north or down south or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And just encouraging kids to encourage your parents, encouraging other parents to do this.
Mm-hmm.
When we covered this story, we were focusing on the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And understandable, I think. It's really great for them. What we were getting the feedback from these parents that had their kids attending these classes is kids are going to want to do it. We got to get parents to let their kids do it.
Yes, right.
I think that it's not unheard of, especially in Wisconsin, for you to let your kid go to a camp for 2 weeks during the summer, whether it's Camp Alexander or a Bible camp or something like that.
This is just another version of it. This is rock camp.
Yeah.
You're going to have a band and you're going to play music. And what, like, teen doesn't have that dream of, like, I'm going to be in a band?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we've all had that dream.
I did, certainly.
Yeah.
Oh, I did.
And you thought it was really going to happen, too. Mm-hmm. So, like, this just, like, ignites it. And also, they can practice those skills that are great. They can have some good relationships with other teens their age. And it's happening here in Madison. That's really cool.
It means nothing to sign your kid up for soccer. Mm-hmm. And you do that knowing that they're probably not going to be the next Pele. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe they will. That's great if they do. But mm-hmm. it's not about that. It's about learning team, you know, how to work with others, mm-hmm. making friends, empathy, all these mm-hmm. other things. This is the same thing. Mm-hmm. We're not saying that every one of the kids that attends this is going to be the next, you know, Madonna or the, right. or the, you know, anything like that. But they are going to learn all these other things that they learn in sports, mm-hmm. that they learn at, you know, other camps and that. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the greatest things you can give to a child is knowing that they are not alone.
Yes.
I don't know if you don't know what it's like. I don't know how to get you to understand it. But I moved around so much in life, and everywhere I went, I stood out. I was mm-hmm. different. There weren't other kids like me, mm-hmm. and it really played with my psyche. It's mm-hmm. so much so that I end up in radio. No, mm-hmm. joking, exactly. I'm joking. But it really means something. And I wasn't the only kid feeling that way. Mm-hmm. Every kid feels that way at yep. some point in
at
their
some
life.
Point.
Mm-hmm. Every kid knows what that's like to feel alone or feel like it's just you or you're the only kid in the world like this, dealing with whatever is going through that little kid's brain.
Yeah.
Being at a camp like this gives them that idea. Oh, I'm not alone.
That space and place. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the greatest gifts you can give to a child, especially your own.
Yeah.
So I encourage you to look into this again. It is in Madison, and they have, I believe they, from what they were telling me, they do this every summer, and once a summer, sometimes twice a year. But I encourage you to look into this great organization, Girls Rock Camp Madison. Girls Rock Camp Madison. Their website is that girlsrockmadison.org, girlsrockmadison.org. Check that out, everybody. Good story of the day in our entertainment section here. Mm-hmm. We'll take a break. We're coming back, and we're going time traveling, Katrina.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, yeah. Get your hat on. I don't know. Do you need a helmet to time travel? Do you think?
A cape, I think it is.
Ooh, yes. We'll get a cape. Mm-hmm. Katrina and I will be back with capes and time traveling on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Katrina and James hanging out with you. Got some good stuff. We're going to go time traveling now, Katrina.
I got my cape on.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get going. Here it is, everybody. The top historical events we'd visit if we could time travel. 424-2600. Join the conversation. We know you got thoughts on this
one. Yeah, we want to hear it.
If you could time travel, where would you go? That's the question. Someone polled 2,000 Americans and asked which historical event or historical scene they'd want to travel back to and see in person. And we're assuming, you know, you can go back in time and do all that stuff. First place is a tie between ancient Egypt and the American Revolution.
Mm.
Egypt
was actually on my mind when I was like, I don't know. And then I was thinking Egypt for some reason. Something sounds really like... intense, but interesting.
Imagine seeing the bottom foundation of the pyramids being created. Like, I got goosebumps just thinking mm-hmm. about that. I don't know, maybe that's the Egyptian in me mm-hmm. or something, but yeah. I just the idea of that is mm-hmm. fascinating to me. The beginning of the American Revolution.
Yes.
Like, I mean, like being in a pub and there's a secret meeting mm-hmm. going on and you're hearing about it, you're mm-hmm. over here, or you're part of it or something yeah. like that. Seeing the first, like, cannon fire or something. Or being in the prison cell when Star Spangled Banner is being mm-hmm. written. Something like that. Like, there's so many interesting moments in the early days of the birth of America that it just would be when the pilgrims got here.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. Just washing up on the shore, just seeing something like that would mm-hmm. be interesting.
Mm. Yeah, sometimes when I'm watching a movie, I'll like look over at Jason. I'm like, could you imagine? Like, you like really feel like you're in it. And you're like, what? That sometimes will spark that too.
The rest of the top picks are ancient Greece, the Viking Age, Italy during the Renaissance, Europe during World War II, Normandy on D-Day, and the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989. Mm. That last one was honestly the first one I thought of. I think just because growing up and we saw it and we're like experiencing it, watching it on TV, that I remember being a kid and thinking, wow, what it must feel like to be there during that. When that there's a moment during that when that the video footage of it, when a piece of the wall falls and there's people on this side and people on that side, and they look at each other and point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like it gives me goosebumps thinking about mm-hmm. it, because it was so such a big moment.
Right.
Another cool part about this that I think would be great is I'm saying this, and there's some younger people out there listening that didn't see this, right, that have no experience with it and don't have the empathy pull. I'm sure that they get something from it, but they don't get an emotional thing from it.
Right.
Like when we talk about the moon landing, like I think it's fascinating. I think it'd be really cool to be an American sitting there watching the TV when this happens. But I can't get I can't imagine what it must emotionally felt like. I can feel that, but I can't put myself there. I like the idea of the ability to be able to do that, to be able to like pull that empathy out. So the moon landing, Woodstock. These are things. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech.
Oh, yeah.
Being there, like in person to hear that.
Yeah.
Those are good ones. You got any coming to mind here?
I know. I'm trying to think of some. I feel like I have a list, but it's not here right now.
Well, no worries. I have a history brain. And I also have a computer in front of me. So I cheated, basically. I have a bunch of historical events in front of me. So I'm going to help you and the audience out
with
this one.
James.
Well, it's not even 10 in the morning yet. It's not fair to be putting people, stressing people. How about the discovery of DNA?
Yeah.
Like being in the lab and seeing that and that, whoa, wait a minute. There's this thing called DNA. There's this thing that like ties that we get from our parents, they got from their parents.
Right. Or how about like Einstein being around that genius, right? Just like being in that room and like just watching his brain work.
They bring up on here, because I was just Googling like big historic events and everything, like the Salem witch trials. Like this takes it on another angle of where like a more of a darker moment in history. I don't know how many of us are especially like let's just look at this basically. Like you got one shot. This is an H.G. Wells time machine. You get one shot at this. You get to go back and you get thankfully a return plane ticket. So you can come back, but you only get one shot at this. Only one thing to visit. While I find these things very interesting, I wouldn't go back in time to see something dark necessarily. I wouldn't want to see something like that, maybe. Let's see. Take a phone call. What's on your mind? Where would you go?
I have fair ones. I'm going to say go back to the Civil War and see the Gettysburg Address.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Whew. Yeah. Yeah. That'd be awesome. Oh, that would be cool. That would be something. And especially... Like, there's no, like, he doesn't have a microphone out there to help pronounce his voice to thousands in things. This isn't put, you know, being recorded on the TV so you can watch it later. There is none of that technology at this point. So I think you're actually genuinely having to really pull on your hearing, like, really actually listen and stuff. We're so used to the way we take in media nowadays that I think that even in itself would be interesting.
Right. Can't hear in the back. Can you be a little louder? No, it's no, you just got to be focused. Right.
Excuse me, Mr. President.
You know, and, you know, the one neat thing about it is that I'm going to really date myself. This is back in the early 80s. We actually went to D.C. And it was in Gettysburg. And I was with my cousin. And we're sitting there. And then actually Abraham Lincoln, the person that portrayed Abraham Lincoln, came up to us and took a picture of everything. Well, he actually did the Gettysburg Address for the crowd that was there. Yeah, it was
nice.
It's really cool.
That is incredibly cool. That is incredibly cool. Thank you for that, sir. Always appreciate the call. Thank you. You too. Have a great day. Thank you for that. That's a good one. That's a really good one.
That is a good one.
I love the idea. We were talking about the pyramids before. I love the idea of going back and seeing the beginnings of the seven wonders.
Mm-hmm.
Like how the beginning of the Taj Mahal being built.
Mm-hmm.
Or how about this? How about seeing the Grand Canyon, like, right before it became the Grand Canyon?
Right, like, you found it, right?
Yeah.
You're like, all of a sudden, you're on your way, and you're like, whoa, we can't go any further. Is this thing? Now, we can't go this way. Yeah. Can't go that way for miles.
Incredible. I love that we're taking something that doesn't even exist, and now I'm doing add-ons. Like, it's not enough that it's a time machine, but I also want it not just to be a time machine, but I want to be standing there on the land before it becomes the Grand Canyon, and then I want to use the fast forward button and watch as it develops into the Grand Canyon.
Right. For sure.
How about pick any mountain or hill in this state? You know, and watching the land as it grew and became, and these mountains, all these all this after the Ice Age, everything from Canada comes sliding down. Yeah. Seeing some of that happen,
that'd be super interesting.
There's got to be two categories here. There's got to be the world category with like things like Egypt and that, and mm-hmm. the pyramids, and local stuff like here, you know, in your own state or your mm-hmm. own zip code that you think would be cool to see develop. Like, there's too much stuff.
There's so many things. I think even like going back and like in Greece and just like the like we see it portrayed in movies, but like what was it actually mm-hmm. like, you know, just like them developing certain parts and then like the like just like the writing, who like coming up with the writing and how it was put into books and mm-hmm. all of that. But I agree with you. It's like you need to see it in that stage, but then you almost need like a slow fast forward to see the progression of what's happening.
Not like the old school fast forward button where you click it and you're like 10 hours in. No. Like, no, mm-hmm. I want the slow way to be able to take mm-hmm. my time with
yes.
it. I think like a lot of times with this topic, we all do this where we tend to look way, way back. But I think even modern wonders would be kind of cool to see sure. being built. You know, any of our skyscrapers, you know, mm-hmm. at the beginnings of seeing some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. The things that where it's right on the cusp of the part in history where we're able to kind of document it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where some of these things that got lost. The Eiffel Tower, seeing that being built.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about this? Being in the room when they're designing these things, like when mm-hmm. architects and you know, city planners are all getting mm-hmm. together to even do that. Like
the concept of the idea and how it developed.
That's pretty cool.
Or like, I mean, Christopher Columbus coming over. Like, oh, that would be interesting.
Yes, yes. I want to be in the room when like Da Vinci's working in his notebook.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, Leo, what you got there? Hey, because we know each other. I can call him Leo.
Yes,
hey, Leo, what you working on in there? It's like, it's just this microwave. Like, oh, microwave. You know what? That's pretty ahead of its time, man.
Mm-hmm.
That would be pretty cool. Let's keep this conversation going, everybody. 424-2600, now, tomorrow, whenever, call up and let us know what you would use a time machine. What historical event would you use a time machine for? We will go to some modern history and get to Melissa's news now. We'll be back with more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Oh, I know it now. Yeah. Okay. Took me a second.
Lots of good cheese.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Katrina and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us. Getting to another story here before we get to our That Ain't Right stories, although this one might have some That Ain't Right qualities to it. Before we dive in, though, Katrina and I were talking during the break about time travel and all mm-hmm. this, and I think we brought up another interesting aspect of this, that there is the world level of it, and then there's kind of a personal level.
Mm-hmm. Personal time travel.
Yeah. We were talking about, like, I mentioned going back and being able to see my Aunt Florence, my mm-hmm. mom's Aunt Florence, or meeting the first James, you know.
And that's super cool.
I got to meet him, but I was only like 5 or 6. I was really young. I don't really remember it. I'd mm-hmm. like to go back and meet my great-great-grandfather.
Your name is an ancestral thing.
Yeah, who came to this country
family,
with nothing but his name mm-hmm. in that. You brought up a great one, too.
It would be interesting to be a fly on the wall for when your parents first met, like their first conversations, that first time. Ooh. Not, I don't need all the details, just like that first time. I think
I don't even
want to
see their first kiss. Like, I don't even want to see that. But I do. I'm with you 100% on all of this other stuff, though. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That is fascinating. That's a cool.
And so I think we could all think of that in personal story of history that we'd like to go back in within our families, within ourselves. Maybe someone missed a birth of their child or something like that.
Yes.
That would be really cool.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So my youngest, Isabel, we have my son at the time. We're a young couple. We have the one vehicle and everything. Yeah. And Mandy is determined to go to the hospital by herself. She's just having some cramps and discomfort and everything. I'm fine. I'm just going to go and I'll be right back. And like, so JC and I are back at the apartment and we're like, okay. But an hour later, I get a phone call. You got to get down here. Mm-hmm. This baby's coming.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh God. And so we didn't have a car, didn't have a car seat. Like it took me about 45 minutes to find a ride to the hospital, and we finally get there. It had to have been longer than that, but we finally get there. And as we're walking in, I hear a baby crying, and it's Isabel. I got to hold her and cut her cord, and I told her I loved her. The first thing I said to her, but which is the first thing I said to each of my children, and right after that I said, and I'm going to make this time up to you, because I when I came in, that yelling, that was her first breath.
Yeah.
She wasn't breathing when she was first born, and that was getting them getting her to breathe. So we walk in, and JC and I heard her first holler, her first breath. So, but I missed the birth, and I have never stopped feeling guilty about that to this day. My ex makes fun of me for it. I was fine, all this. No, I should have been there.
Yeah.
We weren't even necessarily together at the time, and I feel like I should have been there.
Yeah.
So you're so right about this. That's the first thing I'm doing in a time machine, is going back and doing that. That is the very first thing I am doing. I'm sorry, everybody, if I don't cure something or save some person or something like that, but I'm a dad. That's the first thing I got to do. That's a great point by you. That's a good one. Here's an interesting one and an interesting topic that takes us kind of in a different direction, sort of. In relationships between a man and a woman, who do you think is more likely to say the L word first? A recent study found it's actually men, because I think the majority of people would think women. I think stereotypically a lot of our brains go that direction.
Sure.
Researchers had over 3,000 adults in 7 countries fill out relationship questionnaires, and pretty much across the board, men were more likely to say "I love you" first. The average guy starts thinking about saying it 69 days into a relationship, compared to 77 for women. But both wait over a month to actually pull the trigger.
Sure.
The average man will say "I love you" 107 days into dating, or about 3.5 months. For women, it's 122 days, or about 4 months. This study, I think, might surprise women. It shouldn't surprise a single guy out there. There should not be one guy surprised by this. This is what happens when you raise men to those emotions, push those down. You're hurt, walk it off. You're crying, stop it. Like, that's the society we've created for men. And so then when it comes to actually feeling, "I love you!" Like, we just want to get these emotions out.
Yeah.
We've been bearing.
Yeah, you don't know how to do
now,
it.
Now, don't know how to do. How do I work this whole emotion part of my brain? I love you. We just spurt it out. We just throw it out there or something like that, because we can't wait to actually show some human emotions.
Right.
This idea that the that men are getting softer, or that we're creating softer men, or any of these things. First off, there are news articles from the 1800s about that. So we've been worrying about this whole men not being men thing since then. And even before that, there are actually Plato, I think, has a quote about this. So even going way back then, they've been worrying about this. And as far as I know, men are still men.
Yeah.
You know, so one of the most ridiculous things to waste your time thinking about is, are men men in all this? Miss me with that. But the other part of this is important to me as far as men being able to show emotions. And being
a very healthy thing to show.
It's an extremely healthy thing. And it's the strongest thing you can do with your emotions. Any fool, any coward can bury their feelings. That's not, that to me, if we're going to get into this whole manly stuff or whatever, well, to me, that one of the most manly things that you can do is owning your feelings, is owning who you are. And if it, whether it's sharing that or not, it's at least owning it to yourself. Because one of the cruxes of this whole thing is, society's getting better about men showing emotions and being emotional, but we haven't necessarily done the work inside. We're telling people as a society it's okay to show those things, but are you telling it in your own head? Are you doing that part? You got to win that battle internally first before you can go ahead and bring it to the masses.
That makes complete sense.
And we haven't even done the work on that one yet. I don't hear anybody talking about that. It's all, yes, it's okay to be a man. Yes, it's okay to show feelings and all this. Yes, that's good. But what about men actually working internally on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
We need to get better about that. And I don't want my son, I don't want my son growing up thinking that he has to bury his feelings, that he can't be a human being like the rest of everybody and stuff. That's ridiculous. So as far as men being quicker to say "I love you" than women, that does not surprise me one bit. I think that's pretty, you know, understandable.
Well, I think sometimes it's like, I don't know if it's like this anymore, but I feel like for a while it's maybe the woman waits for the guy to ask her out. That was it, maybe a little bit more, not as much as it is now currently, but I think the same, like, oh, I'm gonna wait for him to say it. Maybe I don't want to be the first one to say it. So I think there's something to that as well. But,
Yeah. I think, too, that there is something to be said, too, for being the first to say it. Mm-hmm. I think that there are a few scarier situations in life mm-hmm. with just two people that could be so intense and so yeah. scary. But it's also one of the most rewarding things mm-hmm. to have happen.
Yes, absolutely.
But once you're in a relationship, once the word is out there and everything, and you get to you've been together for a while and stuff, have you ever been in a relationship where, and I don't mean this like it's actual, like, you know, digging each other, but the other person, well, you know, I said I love you first. Like,
no.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've had that one thrown at me a couple mm-hmm. of times. I've had that
nope.
one thrown at me.
Not because, nope, not the like, well, I said that first. Nope. Mm-mm.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I think that's good. My so my sister and my oldest, Bria, mm-hmm. got the chance to hang out a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I know how much they have in common. I know how much they are alike. But they didn't really know. So sure. It was so fascinating and cool to see them
it, yeah. you
know, sharing and all that. And they were both talking about what are their favorite things they found. Both of them proposed to their husbands.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, that, it is starting to shift and change.
Yeah, it really sure. is. So I wonder how much of it might shift with the I love yous and that. Maybe we might see more women sharing that first and mm-hmm. everything. I think that the other part of the interesting thing in this story is when you know. Like, when you say it is one thing, but it statistically, it sounds like women know sooner than men.
But that they don't share it.
Yes, yeah, mm-hmm. which is interesting. That's an interesting part of it, too.
Typically, women share things more. So, yes, this is. Those are interesting statistics.
Ah, that's a fun one. That was
don't
an interesting
one. You love it, James.
Yes, I do. I love that story. We'll take a break. We'll come back with some That Ain't Right stuff, some more good stories of the day, and plenty more for you on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Miss Janet playing us in.
Mm-hmm.
Little Janet Jackson from the 90s for you. Call me. Name's Janet. Call Miss Nasty. We got an interesting That Ain't Right story here, Katrina. And I don't do this very often, but every once in a while we get a That Ain't Right story mm-hmm. that I can relate to.
Okay.
And that I could see myself actually younger me doing or something like
Not
that.
Not current you.
No, no. Current me is on the right side of the tracks, not a knucklehead anymore.
Okay.
I'm a good guy now.
Okay.
Younger me, knucklehead.
Mm-hmm.
I own it. I admit it. And, you know, I'm better
hey,
now.
Hey, we all have our history.
We do. Oh, and I got some history. And these people are going to have some history and a story to tell as well. You've probably heard of people going to a park or cemetery or something, hiding out, not leaving when the place closes.
Sure.
Spending the night there, staying overnight until the morning, that kind of thing. We've heard stories like that for our whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you've heard one like this. Well, two people were caught having an illegal sleepover in the Eiffel Tower.
Oh.
They were American tourists, and they were able to dodge security on Sunday night and weren't caught until the guards were making their rounds before opening on Monday.
Wow.
Officials say the tourists were drunk, but it's not clear if they accidentally passed out up there or it was a plan they hatched while under the influence. It was clearly not something that they put a lot of thought into
right.
either way.
They didn't have sleeping bags, did they?
No.
Okay.
The security guards noted that they didn't seem to pose any threat, but it's against the rules, so they filed a criminal complaint with the police. It sounds like a minor trespassing sort of thing where they'll probably be fined, but there aren't any specifics on what they'll be hit with next or anything like
interesting.
That.
Interesting.
But, how do we know that they didn't just watch A Night at the Museum a bunch of times and like
out
of
we figured it out. Yeah, we got it. We know how to do this.
They were just waiting for something to come alive or I don't know,
right.
something like that.
You can't have a sleeping bag. It makes it obvious. I mean, you just have to have a nice coat and make sure that you're, you know, cozy up.
I gotta admit, this does seem kind of cool.
I mean,
it does seem kind
of. You're gonna go under record in multiple ways
of being yes.
I slept in the Eiffel Tower. How many people have done that?
Yeah,
I'm sure a lot of people dreamed of that.
You're definitely gonna have some bragging rights. However, you're gonna probably be bragging in a jail.
You'll probably pay for it a little bit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. That there's that part of it. I also think that, and they don't talk about this in the article. This has got to be 20-year-olds, right? Like, this is something that you I'm not saying that young and foolish.
Yes.
I mean more so young and you can get away with.
Yes.
Like, you know.
Right. I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. I don't feel
just like life experience and I'm sorry. I'm not from here. I don't speak your language.
Yes. I think there's two age groups get away with this one. Obviously, like 20 and younger. and 60 and up, mm-hmm. like get away with this. Yep. Anything in between, yep. and like no, they're throwing the book at you. They're like, you know better. And all that. But you know, either of those other categories, oh, it's okay,
right?
You know, slap on the wrist.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty interesting. I also would have thought there'd be, you know, like that this isn't the first time this happened, that they'd have a set of laws against this or something.
Right.
It doesn't sound like they do. It doesn't sound like they have a real game plan for that. It's interesting.
We'll have to find out, I guess.
We need a palate cleanser. Not a big one, though, because that was kind of fun, actually. I kind of like that story. I can't help it. I want to get to some good stories of the day. We have some local ones we'll touch on, but I really wanted to touch on this one because we do not get a chance to highlight. Usually when we're talking about technology where they're complaining or saying that it doesn't do this or it does this wrong or it detaches us from society, all this. Well, here's a good one. Maui is still reeling from last week's terrible wildfires. Mm. It's the deadliest in the U.S. in over a century. Hopefully, you're never in any kind of life or death situation like that. But if you are, this iPhone feature has gone viral.
Oh, yeah.
Last fall, Apple added a new emergency text feature that lets you text 911 even if you don't have a cell signal.
Cool.
And unless you have one of the newest iPhones, you don't have it yet. Only iPhone 14s do. And you might need to update your iOS as well to get it to work. If you try to call 911 and can't connect, a button pops up that says emergency text via satellite. On-screen instructions guide you through and basically put you through to 911.
Cool.
Someone posted screenshots after five people in a van used it to get help during the big wildfire in Maui this last week. And they said it literally saved their lives.
Wow.
So we,
good timing.
Yeah. Well, we can complain all we want about these phones and tech and all these things, mm-hmm. but it does have its positives as well, and we need to highlight these when we can. I'm not disagreeing that we need to put our phones down and get our heads out of our screens and everything, but I also believe in giving credit where it's due.
Yeah,
and we
have absolutely.
To, we got to do that more
right
in society.
Right here, for sure.
And there's a perfect example of the power of technology and why, you know, why when I have to update my iPhone and I get all frustrated about these updates that take forever and everything, why they're good and why you need to go through those and keep your phone updated. That is a pretty cool story.
Yeah, it is really cool.
Let's get to some local good stuff. And their doors opened a little less than an hour ago at Family Natural Foods, Katrina. Mm-hmm. And got some great things going on over there. We started our show talking a little bit about some of the events you have coming up. Certainly want to make sure to mention the big sale. You have your customer appreciation sale coming
October 6th and 7th. We have our customer appreciation sale, which will have all sorts of things on sale for you, whether it's your supplements, and we'll have different representatives coming in and talking about things. We're still hashing out the details. Steven and I both looked at each other the other day and go, oh, yeah, we got to get a couple details going.
We have
plenty of time for it, but this is the time of the year where we both go, oh, yeah, that's right. So it's exciting. It's a fun time. It's the fall. It's a great time to come out. So definitely come. Yeah. And then September 19th, we have a digestive health presentation at 5:15. So come and join us for that, too.
Mm-hmm. Join our friends at Family Natural Foods. Their doors are open right now at 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. Visit their webpage, familynaturalfood.com. Be sure to follow them on social media. And you can give them a call if you like, 423-3120, 423-3120. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to you guys joining us at Midday Magazine next week, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is Wednesday. That means bingo.
Bingo.
Bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693. Their doors open at 5. Bingo kicks off at 6:30. Join the Elks, not only in fun and a good time, but know that when you're spending money at the Elks, it's coming right back into the community.
Mm-hmm.
The Elks Lodge not only host events, but put into scholarships and all kinds of different things.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate our good friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693 at 430 West Jackson Street, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Get there and play some bingo.
Have you been a bingo caller before?
Yes.
You have. Okay.
When I first moved here, my nan and papa, they did bingo in Rome at the Rome Town Hall. And there was a lady that was doing it and her voice went out.
You're like, I'm here for you.
Well, I wasn't playing bingo and I was the only kid there.
You should have played bingo. It's fun.
Yeah, I know.
But it was fun only for so long. And then you said, okay, I needed something different.
I was like a kid. So I had all this energy. I didn't want to just sit there. So right away, because I'm 7 years old, wanting to be an actor, put me in front of people. Sure.
Yeah.
Even as an introvert, I couldn't wait to get in front of a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I was up there doing it. I would do the Red 4. I would do voices and they were horrible. They were horrible voices, but the people couldn't have been nicer. They'd laugh.
They were like, this is great. Let them try.
Yeah,
let
they were great. They're a wonderful crowd. We're looking forward to a wonderful crowd at a couple of events that we are going to be at.
Yeah, what you got?
We are going to be at Lunch by the River tomorrow.
Yes.
Some of our fun. WFHR and WIRI staff going to be down there at Lunch by the River. Be sure to join us tomorrow from 11:30 to 1 at beautiful Veterans Memorial Park in Wisconsin Rapids.
It's going to be a good day for that.
Yeah, we got a nice day looking weather-wise, Paul was telling us earlier. First off, a big shout-out to our friends at Nicolay Staffing that are co-sponsoring this with us in WFHR and WIRI. Of course, a big shout-out to Enbridge Energy Company. The Central Wisconsin Chorister is going to be down there entertainment-wise.
Cool.
Great food from Jamaican Kitchens, Rocky Rococo, Chatterbox, La Taqueria.
Yum.
Oh, such good food. Come on down, have a good time, enjoy the great atmosphere, and say hi. Stop by our booth and say hi.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of booths, we are going to be at the Central Wisconsin State Fair.
Yes.
We're going to be down there. We'll have a booth. Come and say hi to us. We'll have the Truth booth as well. I encourage you to take some time in there. Give us your story or vent or whatever. What's on your mind? Give it to us. We'd love to have that. Find out what the Truth booth even is, and check it out. It's a new creation of ours here at Civic Media. We want you to spend some time with us and spend some time at the Truth booth. And when you stop by and you say hi and mention, hey, I heard them talking about this on WFHR or WIRI, you mention that, and if we were one of the first 10 people to do so, you're getting a new shirt. And with that new shirt is a new logo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. WFHR, WIRI, in the process of rolling out our new logos. And that means new shirts for you out there. I want by Christmas, I don't want to be able to turn a corner in Central Wisconsin and not see one of our shirts.
We'll be there.
So that means we got to get them out there. We got to get them out there. And we're going to be doing that and rolling that out over the next couple of weeks, giving you opportunities to win shirts and stuff. You don't have to wait. Meet us at the Central Wisconsin State Fair, and you'll be able to pick one up right away if you're one of the first 10 people.
I love it.
It's pretty cool. And say hi. We're going to have some staff down there. Enjoy the fair. One of my... I'm biased. I've gotten to do events at the fair over the years. I got to introduce Cheap Trick there. It was fun in my old classic rock days. And I'd never been to a fair before in my life until going to the Central Wisconsin State Fair in radio. And I love fairs. I don't know what there isn't not to love about fairs. The food, the people, the rides, and all these different booths and different people down there that you don't always get a chance to interact with. It's a fun time.
You just see like animals. You just see 4-H. H displays in the community, and you get to see a lot of people that maybe you didn't even know exist in the community, and you're like, all right, it's fun.
Check out the Central Wisconsin State Fair. It's going to be a fun time over in Marshfield, Marshfield Fairgrounds at 513 East 17th Street in Marshfield. You can find out more by going to their website, centralwisconsinfair.com. And, of course, you can go to civicmedia.us to find out more information about our booth and the Truth booth and all the things we got going on down there with that. That wraps us up. That's our show. I was going to get to it. I was trying to sneak another story and I can't do it.
Good try.
Katrina, thank you so much for hanging out with us. That's our final good story. You being here with us today.
Thank you, James.
Thanks for the time. We'll have more morning show for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Say hi to everybody at Family Natural Foods for us.
Will do. Thank you.